Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Now, Jake, I'd like you to, if you could, while we have Nick, maybe get that video that Nate sent us, because I wasn't going to go in this direction, but Nate is putting so much pressure on me with his tweets and videos that I feel like he's trying to steer the show in a specific direction, so I'm going to allow it right now, because I feel like we're heading into something that could be pretty entertaining, at least, or informative. Nick Lecky, let's welcome you into the conversation. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
I am good, yes. A happy Sunflower Showdown Wednesday to all, and to all a good night.
We are talking about K-State.
Let's just start there. Let's turn the heat up a little bit on this rivalry. Oh. Take me back to a young, fresh-faced Nick Lecky just making his way in the state of Kansas from Texas, and here you are. You're thrust into the Sunflower Showdown. Tell me what it meant to you during your time at Kansas State to take on KU in the battle for Sunflower supremacy.
I think you always wanted to reward your teammates and beat their ex high school teammates and JUCO teammates by winning the Sunflower Showdown. And personally, for me, I always wanted the ability to go have some drinks on Mass Street or the other places in the off season, knowing we beat KU. So that was my motivation. Hang my head high when I'm in Lawrence having a good time.
What was your spot on Mass Street? Did you have a preferred watering hole?
All of them.
There was one spot. I think it was called the Hawk.
Yeah. Where not on Mass Street, but that's okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm
talking about the Boom Boom Room. Everybody's fan of Boom Boom Room.
That sounds like a gentleman's establishment, and I was not quite a gentleman yet. Still, I'm not.
It was just a.
But yeah, no, it was fun.
You know what? We might as well go ahead and do this if we're gonna get into the KU
hell yes we're gonna do
okay.
This. What do you mean?
So we're gonna
first of all set up that damn video because Jake has it ready. The one you texted us last night.
John Kurtz sent this out. He put together a compilation of different K-State players who grew up a short drive from Lawrence, Kansas, who ended up playing at K-State. I think it starts with McPherson here.
I think about it a lot now, but I mean, it's not a grudge, but you kind of think about it because I live 15 minutes away from Lawrence, and it was kind of like they didn't even give me a look, and so it's kind of it kind of hits home a little bit.
It's kind of just a respect thing, how Kansas State came out and offered me first and had that trust and belief in me. And, kind of KU, really not having that was kind of a disappointment a little bit. Yes, it does fire me up a little bit because they're only 30 minutes down the road and the interest was very little.
Being so close to Lawrence, I always felt that that there was a little bit of motivation and not being recruited at all by them. I went to one camp, talked to their coaches there and that was it. There's definitely motivation in that, feeling like I might've been overlooked.
So this is a long tradition, by the way. This is a long standing tradition at KU and K-State, going back to a guy that I believe you played with, Nick Lecky, by the name of Darren Sproles. Do you remember him?
Yeah, I think he was too small. I don't think he ever made it.
Terry Allen no. Thought he was too small, offered him a walk-on spot at Kansas. So
I see a trend. Mm. I see a growing trend. Yeah, no, it's a real thing. There's some sort of superiority. I'm always baffled about how KU just gets these just amazing athletes, and there's all these people who I played with at K-State, and they're like, yeah, they didn't offer me nothing. Like, they were like, yeah, they're like, no, we're good. Like, we're going somewhere else. Like, they often overlook Kansas, and I think if you're a school like K-State or KU, you have to have a certain percentage of homegrown talent, of guys who grew up bleeding purple or bleeding, you know, whatever rock chalk is, red and blue. And you need that. And to me, it was, okay, whatever. To me, it was I bought into that.
No, you know, this is great. Keep going, Nick. Keep going.
I love that love, man. It was, and it inspired me more too. Like it was like, you know, win one for the Gipper. It was like, man, win one for your homies who grew up K-State fans and who KU dunked on or something like that. But yeah, it was a hell of an awesome rivalry. I loved it. It was, to me, it was the one I always looked forward to the most, and I needed no motivation this week. It's an awesome rivalry.
The only time that Kansas did not overlook the state of Kansas was during the Mangino era, and he learned all that from Bill Snyder.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I listed off 15 guys earlier that KU had during that time that were instrumental in that team winning an Orange Bowl and winning games against K-State, you know, and it just baffles me the arrogance that's kind of existed at Kansas since then with nothing to back it up. It's like, I don't know, it's like the goofiest looking kid in school strutting around like he's, you know, a hunk.
What? Did you just say?
I don't know. I was trying to think of
who the hell talks like that anymore.
I don't know.
A hunk?
A wise guy, you know.
What are you? What the hell are you talking about?
Like
the vernacular.
You understood what I meant, damn it.
You sound like
you have to clarify for everybody else.
You sound like a 1950s preteen girl. Elvis is such a hunk.
I'm trying to think of like terms we can talk in today's world without being offensive.
What a stud. Walking around like
you're a stud. I don't know. Can you say stud?
No, yeah.
I like Nate calling guys hunks.
That guy is a hunk.
That's
he's righteous.
A hunk of burning love.
So like when you see a guy,
I'm chunky.
Do you say that, Nate? When you see a guy that's put together or something, like, that guy's a hunk.
Yeah, absolutely. Hell, of course.
He must work out.
I tell people that about Nick Leckie all the time. I'm like, you know what? That guy's a hunk right there. Nick Leckie.
I'm super hunky.
What's hunk even short for?
I don't know.
What a weird word.
Can I say this, too? The more you say it, the weirder it sounds, too. Like, after a while, you're like, hunk, is that even a word?
That's why when you're coming up with this analogy, I wasn't expecting for it to end with, and he's walking around like he's a big hunk.
What the dictionary definition of the word hunk is.
Let's see if I used it correctly.
It's a noun, right? The first definition is a large piece of something, especially food, or broken off a larger piece.
Like a hunk of meat. Big old hunk
of
meat.
Give me a hunk of bread.
To use my elder millennial translator, I believe the new term is snack.
Yeah, right.
Translate Nate's 1950s speech.
Here's the second definition is informal. A large, strong, sexually attractive man.
Yeah, see? Man. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Similar words, muscle man, strong man, like, macho.
Like, for example, because I know he's listening right now, Greg Gurley at one time was considered a hunk, you know?
Oh, he's a hunk of something, all right. I can tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
Break me off a large piece of that.
Oh, wow.
It was like, hey, there's a couple of hunks there. Greg Gurley.
two of them.
Oh boy, it's the Sunflower Showdown, Kansas City. Can you feel the heat? Okay, Nick.
What are you gonna do?
I feel like
what are you gonna do?
I feel like I ask you this every year when they're getting ready to play, but I like hearing Bill Snyder's story. So how did Bill Snyder? How did you know how much this meant to him? Because clearly that was a priority to win the state, to beat Kansas.
The way he stressed it, I mean, honestly, it was one of those games where he'd be like, man, you don't need any motivation for this. And you could just, like I said, man, anybody who was homegrown, anyone who grew up in Kansas, man, this rivalry dates back. And I think a part of it, too, has to deal with fans, too. Because, like, you know what, you know, I saw somewhere that someone says, you know, terms that need to die. I love when KU fans put up the overall record. I really, it warms my heart. It warms my heart when they say, not a rivalry, look at the overall record. And I'm like, that's a good point. That is a really good point. You are correct. Overall
do
record
you do that, Nate?
KU is winning.
Does Nate, do you do
oh,
that,
yeah.
Nate?
I think we still got like 20 wins more than you guys, don't we?
Yep. Mm. See? So there you go. So, hey, boom. Next question, right? That's what I love. So I think part of it's the fans and just, yeah, just somewhat feeling like big brother. Like, Nate, you touched on, he said arrogance
yeah.
before he said hunk and just scrambled everything. I think there's an arrogance. An arrogance with basketball and how dominant the basketball program is. And for some reason, there's some, like, leakage over into football where there's, like, the pseudo-confidence because the basketball is so dominant. I think that's what it is, Nate. That's that false confidence.
And there's probably the history thing, too. You know, before yeah. Bill Snyder got there, it was a completely lopsided on that front. Actually, more lopsided in football than it was in basketball back in those days.
Up until 88.
Yeah.
Up until 88, KU and K-State were similar in basketball.
Very similar.
Took two roads.
Yeah, very similar. And you can sit here. We could probably have a great debate over which road would you rather take. You know, would you rather win a couple of national championships in basketball, or would you rather be relevant in both sports and especially with what football has done in this society, how much more powerful it is than college basketball? Which would you rather take? My guess is most KU fans would say they would take their path, and K-State fans would take theirs. But it's fascinating. Like, can you think of another rivalry where over the span of upwards of 30 years, one team has dominated the other, yet that team has the chip on their shoulder, and the team who's been dominated has been plagued by arrogance? Like, where else can you... I don't know. I'd have to think for long and hard to think about a situation like that.
Hold on, Susan, do you think I'm a hunk?
How about Raiders Chiefs?
She just slammed the door, by the way. There was no words, just the slamming of the door. Go ahead, Nick. I'm sorry.
No, I like what Jake said. Yeah, Raiders Chiefs, but I think you'd have to go back to the Old Testament to find something as wild as that. So, yeah.
Isn't it crazy?
No. It's crazy to me, man. It's absolutely wild.
So, Sunflower Showdown, Nick, give me a final score. And then I have to ask you about the Chiefs offensive line.
I'm thinking like 34-17, K-State.
Well, that's not as bad as I thought you were going to say. What I thought you were going to say?
Yeah. No, I never like to. Put in too much pressure on the boys.
What's the line, Jake?
19.5. I think is the last I saw.
Yeah, it's at 20 this morning. But
I was climbing ATS, Jake. As awesome as Snyder was.
Let's see, what are they against the spread this year?
He's going to research that right now.
I am. You know what? That's a good question.
I don't know.
Do the work.
I'll be impressed. Hey, Nick, if KU can score 17, I'll be impressed because they struggled to score, and they just lost Puka Williams for the year.
Right.
So, and he's...
Everything okay with his family? Is everything okay with his family?
I think it's I from what I understand, I don't, you know, it's his news to give, but yeah, he's got some family health issues that he's got to go home and take care of. So it's legit. You know why he's going back home. So yeah, thoughts and prayers to his whole family for sure. But I think I heard yesterday he accounts for 5 of the 8 touchdowns KU scored this year. I think that's what I heard. So their offense is already struggling with him. So without him, I you know, it's going to be tough.
3-1 this year against
the
spread.
Oh, nice. Okay, just like the record. You know, I think it'll be interesting, though. Obviously, you lose Puka. He's such a valuable component of their offense. You know, awesome running back the past 3 years. It'll be different, though, for K-State, though, because now it turns back into a week 1 game where all your tendencies from a defensive standpoint are skewed. So if you're KU, you know, you can hope to come out in some crazy stuff and they won't know how to play it. So there's an advantage for KU there because I think week 1 games are always crazy. Plus, it's 11 a.m., right? It's an early morning game.
That's right.
Weird stuff happens at 11 a.m., man. Weird stuff happens. So I hope they're ready off the bus, as they say, and, you know, so KU's is not ready, so I'm hoping that's the case. But it could be a potential trap game for sure, too.
All right. Nick, while we have you, one of the big stories from the Chiefs' win over the Bills on Monday was the performance of some of the backup offensive linemen. They decided to start Daniel Kilgore in place of Austin Ryder, who's been battling a knee injury. You already had Remmers in for Osemele, but then when Mitchell Schwartz leaves with his back injury, in comes Nick Allegretti, and Remmers goes out to right tackle. And, man, was I impressed with Allegretti. Daniel Kilgore was really good. That looked like a bunch of guys that have been listening to criticism of their play against the Raiders, and even the play calling, it felt like that was a statement game. They wanted to go out and make a point that they were physical, they could win at the line of scrimmage, and they could run the football, and boy, did they prove it against the Bills. Why was that offensive line so successful with three backups in, Nick?
So BJ Kiss and I broke it down on our podcast, Outside the Trenches. Check it out. We broke this down. It's on, find it on Twitter or wherever you do podcast stuff. But I think to me, first and foremost, it was a commitment to the run. And I think having Le'Veon Bell in that room, sort of being like the new elder statesman, you know, I think that sort of motivated all these younger players to say, oh, okay, wow, you know, this could be one of us, you know, like one of us could be, you know, out of the job, so let's hustle. So commitment to inside, like not the sweeps and stuff like the outside runs, but commitment to running in between the tackles. And I absolutely hate it. I had ESPN on in the hospital the other day or something like that. That's what I do for a living. They said something like Max Kellerman said, like, CEH is not a between the tackles runner. And that is like the most absolute garbage comment I've ever heard in my life, because he's a fantastic between the tackles runner. And they just committed to it. And they were coming off the ball. They were firing and they were getting blocks, getting combo blocks with Kilgore and Allegretti. It was awesome to see, because those guys have been playing together this whole season on the scout team for the defense. So they kind of have there's a familiarity there. And I thought Remmer stepped up nicely at that right tackle spot. So it was cool to see, man. And Daniel Kilgore's no slouch, man. He's a 10-year vet, man. I love watching him play back with the Niners, too. He's legit.
First of all, are you at Kansas Speedway right now?
You know, it's funny. I'm parked on the side of the road on I-70, and as soon as you said that, yeah, I'm like the pace car. Yeah, I'm on the side of the highway. I'm on mile marker 189, if you know where that is. So if I get abducted and put in it, you know, whatever, so that's where I was.
Last seen at 9:30 a.m., mile marker 189.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
0.4.
As a guy who is an offensive lineman yourself, and who will stand up for how important their job is, I think we all agree they did an incredible job in this game. Do you agree then that Clyde Edwards-Helaire really didn't have that impressive of a game, and that any average running back could have done the same thing that he did on Monday?
That's complete crap. I mean, what it takes. I mean, I always use this comparison, right? We had a great offensive line my senior year in college in 2003. Jeremy Clary played 10-plus years. Ryan Lilger played 10-plus years. I played six. Our left tackle and guard played 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. So we had a good line. And we had a great running back in Darren Sproles. Then you look at the next year in 2004, Darren Sproles didn't do that great a job because, you know, one, you didn't have a mobile quarterback with L, and then the O-line was different. So there's a... you got to have the right fit, the right combo, the right chemistry, and you got to know each other. So I don't think any other running back could have done that. You can't just say, oh, we can plug in this guy, he'll do it. That's crap, and you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Stay in your lane. Don't talk about O-line work like that. So no. You need the full system, man. You need the play calling. I mean, it's a giant puzzle. It really is. And sometimes that puzzle works brilliant, and sometimes you can't put the pieces together to save your life. So it's a whole work of things, man, with offense. Whereas defense, all it takes is one guy to break up a player, and it's all good.
Hey, Nick, I mentioned Mitchell Schwartz leaving with that back injury, and he hasn't looked as great as he has in his other seasons with the Chiefs. I mean, he's been elite, and so we hold him to a very high standard. Does this tell you that he has been battling this back injury, and that's what the issue has been this year, and as a guy that played on the offensive line, how difficult is it going to be for him to get healthy in the season and recover from back issues?
100% yes. When he went out with the back injury, I did that GIF of from The Wire, holding his mouth like, oh damn, that one. I was like, because that's what he looks like. He just hasn't been as mobile laterally as he usually has been, and is getting beat around the edge a lot easier than times last year, and hasn't looked like his old self. So, and back injuries are tough because you can't quite get surgery, and you have to rest it, and there's not much like rehab work you can do. So it's one of those ones where, like, you know, you wait 2 weeks, go back, and then, you know, you have to not practice all week, and then you go for games, and you get shot up with stuff, and it's just different, man. And it's just it's a crappy injury because it never heals. Like, the only healing is, you know, you got to lose weight and stay off it. So it's just impossible to do as an offensive lineman. It's a bad injury.
First of all, Nick, I just want to give you props for the proper pronunciation of GIF. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So when we look forward to the Broncos game, do you think that, and now understanding they also have different defensive personnel than the Bills do, so that factors into this as well. But do you think a team like the Broncos will look at it and say, man, the Bills, they dared the Chiefs to run, and the Chiefs ran, so we've got to come up with a different game plan? Or do you think they look at it and say, hey, man, they might have given up a lot of rushing yards, but they were still in the game, and they could have won it, so we should try the same thing? Like, how do you think they'll approach it in light of what the Chiefs did this past week against the Bills?
They're definitely going to be on notice now. They're going to be like, oh, wow, now we have to prepare for this. But then, you know, it's like a give and take, too, because it sounds stupid and simplistic, but it's as simple as, okay, they tried to run, you know, Buffalo tried to run a 4-3 with, like, a nickel. And then for the Broncos, now you're like, okay, or do we run a true 4-3, which means you have, like, three straight linebackers, or do we run a 4-3 nickel where your Will or Sam is sort of that hybrid kind of Sorensen position that who can cover? And then what that does for the Chiefs is if you see that matchup, right, you either audible to run or you audible to pass. So it's just something that where it's like you don't want to stray too far away and, you know, fully commit to anything, really, because obviously the Chiefs can still beat you through the air as well. And plus, it was cold and rainy in Orchard Park, New York, on Monday, too. So factor that in as well.
All right, before we let Nick Leckie go, this is a very important question for all three of you. I'm looking at a tweet that was sent out from World Series Game 1, and it is something, a delicious item that you could buy at the concession stand. Everything is bigger in Texas, including the $27.50 broomstick, $27.50 broomstick, which is a 2-foot all-beef hot dog smothered in chili, nacho cheese, jalapenos, and caramelized onion. It weighs 3 pounds. If you were at World Series Game 1, would you pay $27.50 for the broomstick? Nick Leckie.
100% yes. Absolutely.
Right.
I'm all about, like, Texas-sized food and shapes and stuff like that. So, yes. That's a broomstick. Wow. Is it on a bun?
Would you
is
be
it,
able... It's a bun. It weighs 3 pounds. Would you be able to eat that in before the game would be over? Would you be able to eat that during the game?
How many feet of meat am I eating?
2 feet. 2 feet of meat.
Oh, that's a hunk. That's a hunk of meat right there.
That's exactly
that's
right.
That's a hunk. Oh, hell yeah. I could eat 2 of them.
I tweeted this to you, Jake. Are you looking at the
looking
video
at
of this?
I'm looking at it. I'm watching them prepare.
Could you handle this?
Yeah, I don't. But I'm not a chili dog guy, though. I'm not a chili dog guy. I'm just not.
No one ever.
Okay, then what about chili?
Yeah, who's not a chili dog guy? No, I do it without chili. I am. I'm not a chili dog.
Why not?
I love hot dogs. I love hot dogs. I do not want chili on my hot dog. I just want my hot dog with mustard and relish, and that's it.
Are you looking at the video, Nate?
No.
This damn thing looks so good. It looks
jalapenos and nacho cheese. I can't do chili dog. I just can't.
Look, I can't handle that big of a hot dog.
But, yeah, right.
But I like everything that's on it. I mean, everything.
I know it looked. But,
I'll take a smaller version of it.
You can handle
split it maybe with a couple guys.
Nope. What?
Wow.
No.
Nick, you can hang up if you want to. Yeah, I don't, yeah, I don't go, think Nick. You want to be associated with any of this.
No, this is when it gets interesting.
Is it really?
Is it? I'm here for the non-sports
finally?
Talk is what I'm here for.
The unsports talk.
Finally, well. Yes.
I'm just telling you.
Well, you're here for the 2 foot all beef dog.
I'm just glad somebody thinks we're interesting. Finally,
yeah. Well, that makes one of us.
I could eat it. I could eat it.
I mean, I could eat it.
No one's a chili dog, Jake. No one's a chili dog.
I could eat it. I just don't. I'm not. No,
I'm about it.
I have to say that that's one of the greatest upsets I've ever heard in my life. Is Jake Pounders is not a chili dog guy.
Nah.
I can't believe
it. Look at it. I just retweeted it. Look at that video. It looks so. I mean, everything looks just delicious.
Hey,
what?
Nate, Jake, tell me about the chili and the cinnamon roll. That's a Kansas thing that I'm still like, why haven't I been a part of this my whole life? But it's like a Kansas thing, right? The chili and the cinnamon roll, right?
I don't know anything about this.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
What's going on here?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Oh wow, Twitter, light them up. Twitter, light them up.
Cinnamon chili. Roll with chili on it. That sounds even worse.
No, it's on the side. Instead of cornbread, you do a cinnamon roll. On the side with your chili.
No, thanks.
I've never done that.
I was in school, did this on Twitter. I was like, thank you, Twitter. And I'm like, you know, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay.
Like, I appreciate that. It's a thing.
See, all I ever have, like, is it was tortilla. I mean, does that count?
See, I'm straight.
Cornbread.
Keebler crackers. The club crackers. That's where I go with my chili. That's
like
it.
Tortilla chips. Wait, avocado. And avocado. With
chili,
my chili
with cinnamon roll.
It's a Kansas thing.
Do you see it, Nate, now? Look, I just retweeted
it. I see it.
You look
I see it. What,
now, does it not look great? It looks wonderful.
Well, I mean, I love all the ingredients. Yes. It's a little too big for me to handle.
I still think you're lying.
Debatable.
You're lying to Kansas City.
hey, Nick, pit stop's over. Yes, get back on the speedway, all right?
Yeah. That's right.
Go get him.
Awesome.
Get me in front of that pace car.
Yeah.
Get me in front of that pace car.
Remember, Harry, if you ain't first, you're last.
Yeah, I'm going to spin the tires like I'm leaving my high school parking lot, right?
Do it. Right. Smoke them out.
Only the hunks did that back in high school.
Man.
Thank you, Nick.
And the T-top. Thank you, gentlemen. Right.
Oh, boy.
We covered a lot.
We cover a lot with Nick Leckie. And no, Jake, I don't have 2 or 3 more minutes in me. I got a break now, man. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.